Welcome to everyone who is listening to this presentation on power tapping. What you will learn is potentially life-changing. My name is Robert Rudlick. I am not a licensed psychologist or a physician. I claim no medical authority or expertise. My advice is not meant to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease or condition. Anyone seeking health or medical advice is strongly advised to consult a qualified professional. All information provided is for educational purposes only. The information I'm sharing with you is to provide an alternative strategy for what's being used now to help people get healthy and stay healthy. I've been in practice for over 25 years, and one of the things that I see that really destroys people's lives is being overweight. In my clinic, I've seen thousands of people come through my door. Many are overweight. Most suffer from pain. In fact, Americans are fat and continue to get fatter. You know, today, 2 out of every 3 adults in this country are overweight or obese. Now, I live in San Francisco, California, one of the healthiest cities in the country. And you certainly don't see it here like you do other places, but it's still all around. Something to think about. In 1960, the average height for a man was 5'8", and the average weight was 165 pounds. Today, the average height for a man has gone up just 1 inch to 5'9". But the average weight has gone up 25 pounds to 190 pounds. One of the most striking things about this change is that most people are aware of it, understand what causes it, and yet still don't do anything about it. Some other things that we also know: obese people age before their time. Obese individuals spend 77% more on medications than non-obese people do, and they spend an awful lot more money on food. So we're going to talk more about the costs of being overweight and being unhealthy in a little bit. But in my 25 years of practice, it seems that the most obvious reason for not doing anything about getting in better shape is a lack of motivation. And yet, there's a whole lot more going on that's causing the lack of motivation than just simply, I don't like to exercise, or I don't want to change my eating habits. This is where power tapping will have an enormous effect on your life and on your happiness. On the CD, we're going to talk about why being healthy makes you happier and more successful, and why it helps you to think more clearly, have a better self-image, higher self-esteem, and possibly make more money throughout your life. We're also going to talk about the problems of being fat. We're going to go through the whole medical aspect of it, the list of diseases, the statistics, the emotional reasons, the cost. We also are going to talk about issues that need to be overcome, including family, friends, the media, our work environment. We're also going to talk about emotional eating. In fact, we're going to talk a lot about emotional eating today, because emotional eating is a term that we use fairly loosely, but what we're really talking about is stress eating. And there's many reasons why we eat. It's not just because we're having a bad day. We're repressing our emotions, and we're going to talk a lot about that. And then at the end, we're going to talk about how we can start making a plan and use power tapping to succeed in every step of the way. Power tapping is the key. It's your tool to making this process easier and more enjoyable. So let's get going. I'm sure you've already heard that being overweight is bad for your health. Some of the dangers of being overweight include developing high blood pressure, diabetes, stroke, osteoarthritis, sleep apnea, cancer, gallstones, weak pelvic muscles, depression, anxiety. These are just to name a few. One of the things I also want to include in that is that it increases the amount of pain that you're in on a moment-to-moment and day-to-day basis. You may have even heard that people who are overweight make less money, get passed over for promotions more often, and are less successful in life in general. But did you know that being fat actually shrinks your brain? Dr. Amen from the Amen Clinic in California has done extensive research and says as your weight goes up, your ability to think clearly goes down. I mean, literally, you're dumbing yourself down and cheating yourself at a shot at being successful and happy in life. But Dr. Amen goes on, as your weight goes up, your ability to think and reason go down. Which means that over time, if you don't get your weight under control, it will become harder and harder for you to use your own good judgment to get healthy. Now, that's not just, you know, eating choices, but also to make the choice to start to exercise or be more physically active or make better food choices. Here's another thing. The fat on your body is not just a storage place for excess calories. The fat actually produces toxic chemicals that promote inflammation and damage your brain, making it even more difficult for you to make good decisions on how to change your life and become more healthy. Looking good and losing weight is not just about vanity. It's crucial to both your physical and your emotional health. I had a new client come into my office recently. She was a 30-something-year-old woman, recently married, college graduate, and over the period of the past 7 years, she said that she's put on over 40 pounds. She has no time whatsoever to start working out. She doesn't have the time to fix the meals that she would like to have. And frankly, she said, you know, I don't even think about it. I usually eat something on the run because I'm so busy at work. I stopped her for a moment. I said, you know, there is a study I just read published in the Journal of Applied Psychology. And it showed that skinny women tend to have fatter paychecks than average or overweight women. The Wall Street Journal reported that women who weighed 25 pounds less than average-sized women in a sampling earned on average $15,000 more per year. On the other hand, a woman who weighed 25 pounds more than a normal-sized woman made $13,000 less than her average counterparts. We talked a little further, and one of the things that she said is, I feel recently that I am struggling in an uphill battle to get ahead. Could it be that my weight is an issue? I don't feel as good about myself as I used to. I don't have the self-confidence that I used to. I said, I'm going to remind you of the obvious. You spend more money eating poorly. You'll spend a lot more money on prescription drugs and over-the-counter medications over the next 10 years. So that's where we started. And this is where we're going to start with you, right here and right now. So one of the things I'm going to need for you to do is to have a pen and a piece of paper handy, or I want you to start making mental notes. And then the second time that you go back through this, I want you to have that pen and piece of paper handy so that you can write down the triggers and all the things that I'm going to have you make a list of so that you can use the power tapping to slowly check off all the things that have been keeping you from being the best that you can be. So the first thing I really want to talk about with you is, why aren't you motivated? The first time I did this presentation, I noticed grimacing amongst many people in the crowd. And so I asked, how's everybody feeling right now? A couple people stood up and said, you know what? I don't feel too good about myself right now. And I really don't want to hear a lot of the things that I know you're going to be talking about today. So that's how I'm feeling. I said, start tapping right now and just simply tap out the frustration that you feel, because these same frustrations that you're feeling right now are the same frustrations that hold you back from being healthy and from being happier than you ever have in your entire life. Before we get going, I want everybody to start tapping on the karate chop point. And I want you to focus for a moment on what it is that you're feeling from what you've heard so far. It's been my experience that even just talking about weight loss and exercise and making healthy lifestyle choices starts to raise the anxiety level on most people. Think about it. 2/3 of us are either overweight or obese. Actually, 42% are obese. So focus in on your own personal issues that have been coming up for you. So tap on the karate chop point. Focus in. Start breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth. Continue the breathing. I want you to tap on the top of your head, focusing in on how you're feeling. Tap on the eyebrow point. Tap on the corner of the eye. I want you to focus in on where you're feeling those feelings. Where in your body are you feeling tension about what we've been talking about today? Underneath the eye. Underneath the nose. Underneath the lower lip. Collarbone point. And underneath the arm. Stop. Take a nice deep breath in, and at the top of your breath, I want you to hold it for a count of two. One, two, breathe out long and slowly. And as you do, I want you to drop your shoulders, relax your arms, shake your hands out a little bit. That's it. Okay, now we're ready to go. The first thing I wanted to talk about is emotional eating. All of us are prone to emotional eating. Emotional eating is generally caused by stress and emotional suppression. I want to just cover a few things. Number one, cortisol cravings. Cortisol is a hormone that is released when we get stressed. It's known as the stress hormone. But excessive levels of cortisol brought on by chronic stress can cause a slew of problems in the human body. Among those is that it can create cravings for salty and sweet foods. In fact, the food industry has done a great job making junk foods and snack foods that are salty and sweet. Second is social eating. Often when we're under stress, we'll seek out social support, which is a great way to relieve stress. Unfortunately for dieters, when people get together or you get together with your friends or you go over to your family, it tends to be around a meal. And crying on your friend's shoulder over a hot fudge sundae may make you feel better, but you're going to feel lousy afterwards because it's self-defeating. When you think about television programs, I may be aging myself, but programs like The Golden Girls, they were always eating and talking about their problems at the same time. Next, you have nervous energy. Nervous energy is when you're stressed and anxious, and many people become orally fidgety. They want to do something with their mouths. This is one of the reasons why people smoke, because they want to have something to do with their hands. They want to have something to do with their mouth, and smoking satisfies that, as well as the nicotine calms them down. Many of us, though, eat. We just simply want to munch on something. Chips are great for that because we feel the texture, we feel the crispness, we feel the crunchiness in our mouths, and also chips are salty. Next is childhood habits. Many of us have habits stemming from childhood memories around food, and generally it's pretty good. Eating with the family, going to big family get-togethers, all of that was always around food. But when in times of stress, and we don't have a lot of control over our situation, we go back to the things that make us feel good, which from our childhood is food. We always talk about how wonderful it is to have a comfort food meal. Well, that's exactly where it comes from. We remember mom's dumplings or dad grilling on the barbecue and how wonderful it felt for everyone to be around. And you're in a time right now where emotionally you're feeling vulnerable. Maybe you had a breakup. Maybe you had a situation at work where your job position is now being threatened. It's very easy to fall back on food to help you feel comfortable and calm yourself down. And then there are people who are stuffing their emotions. In my practice, I see more of this than anything. People come in, especially people who've had issues with their weight and or their health for a long time. They're stuffing emotions from experiences they've had when they were children. A traumatic event when you're a child is very difficult for you to smooth over because you don't have the emotional skills at that age to deal with it. In fact, many people don't have the emotional skills throughout their life to deal with highly emotional situations. But this is the beauty of power tapping. You now will have the tools necessary to handle any emotional crisis, regain your composure, think clearly, and make good decisions. But stuffing your emotions is very dangerous. In fact, the Kaiser Foundation did a study. And what they found is that people who had unresolved emotional issues and never dealt with them later in life seemed to manifest diseases such as heart disease, cancer, diabetes, arthritis. They had a greater amount of pain in their life, all from suppressing strong emotions that they didn't have the ability to deal with in the first place. Another really wonderful thing about power tapping is that it doesn't matter when it happened, we can go back and we can disassociate the emotion from the event. One of the things that my wife tells people all the time, and that is this: you can't change what's happened, but you can change the way that you perceive it. So therefore, you can't change the fact that your parents got divorced, or the dog died, or that you had a bad test, or that your grandmother died and you're very close to her. You can't change that fact, but you can change the emotional response to that. You can change the way you perceive that so that when you think about it, it doesn't trigger the negative, uncomfortable feelings, which then you need to suppress and quite often do with food, others with nicotine, alcohol, drugs, so on and so on and so on. But food is a big one, and that's what we're dealing with today. So power tapping is going to give you the ability to now finally address all of the situations that in the background have been causing you to eat too much and eat improperly and eat when you shouldn't be eating or eating when you're not even hungry. In fact, let's cover that right now. Eating when you're not hungry, eating for emotional reasons. There is an interesting study that was done. People who thought they were hungry, they were given an 8-ounce glass of water first and told to wait 10 minutes. Of the people in that study, most were not hungry 10 minutes later. What they realized was that the first signs of hunger are generally not hunger, but thirst. This is a very easy strategy to use whenever you're feeling hungry and you want to eat something, or when you're stressed. When you're stressed, the body's going through all sorts of biochemical processes, all of which need water. So the more stressed you are, the greater the need for water. By simply drinking a glass of water first and waiting 10 minutes, and even better, drinking that glass of water, taking 3 minutes and focusing on what it is that's stressing you out and tapping, by the end of that 3 minutes, you're going to be feeling a whole lot better, number one, and by the end of 10 minutes and the overall process of going through and doing all of this, you're not going to feel hungry. That hunger was suppressed on average an hour to an hour and a half. So if you did that 2 to 3 times a day, that would be like taking one whole meal out of your day and you never being any more hungry because of it. Next, I want to talk about a very important topic, and that is your environment. We used to believe our genes determine the outcome of our life. So if we are genetically predisposed to obesity, if we've got the obesity gene, well, there's nothing we can really do about it. I'm not going to fight it. I'm just going to love myself and be fat. And there's nothing wrong with you loving yourself and being fat, but there is a problem with you being fat and having a shorter lifespan, living life in greater amounts of pain, and having more disease than your counterpart who isn't happy being fat and is doing whatever they can to have a healthy lifestyle and to be at a more ideal weight. So, if it's not the genes, what is it? Well, a gentleman by the name of Bruce Lipton, he's a cellular biologist. He placed stem cells in a petri dish, and that stem cell turned into a muscle tissue. And then he changed the environment of the petri dish, put a stem cell in that, and that stem cell turned into a tendon. And then he changed the environment once again, and he put a stem cell in, and that stem cell turned into nerve tissue. And what he realized is that it's the same stem cell, which can differentiate into any type of cell it wants, but what determined the outcome of what it actually became was the environment. And it was the birth of a science called epigenetics. And what epigenetics is the study of how environmental factors determine gene expression and determine the outcome of our lives. So when you believe that you're genetically predisposed to be fat, that's just not true. Let's take this into a more macro sense, and let's take a look at the environment in which we live. All of us live in a very stressful, high-paced life. It just is our world today. But when we're trying to get healthy, there are factors that are in play that we would hope would be supportive of our efforts to become healthy, and in fact, quite often, are not. First, if you're married and you have a family, this is probably one of the most difficult environments to make changes in, especially if everyone else in the family is not really on board with this. Let everyone in the house know what you're doing and watch for their reactions. But also, and more importantly, watch for your own reactions. Did you do it sheepishly? Or did you do it with confidence? Or did you sugarcoat it so that hopefully everyone would help and hopefully everyone would be on board with you? If you didn't speak with confidence, later that evening, tap out all the reasons why. And tap in how you want your attitude to be from this moment on. Then let them know some of the steps that you're going to be taking. For instance, from now on, when I go shopping, I'm buying only healthy foods. Number two, I'm cleaning out all the cupboards. And all the junk food and all the stuff around that triggers my eating is going to be gone. It's been my experience that, especially with young kids, it's the kids who complain the most. You may get some fight back. You may get some rebellion from your spouse and or the kids or both. You may not also. So don't go in expecting it, but be prepared for it. Be emotionally prepared for it. The way you do this is by visualizing the conversation you're going to have with the family and tapping in exactly how you want it to go and how you'd like everyone to respond to it. So now we need to find out where you're at and what's your motivation for doing all of this. I want you to get a pen and a piece of paper out, and I want you to write down all the reasons why you want to become healthy, and you want to get your weight in an ideal range. Write down all the reasons, even the littlest reasons. Don't worry if they're for reasons of vanity. Most of us have those reasons as part of the reason why we want to get healthy. So here's some things to think about. How others see you. How you see yourself. Your energy levels. Your confidence levels. If you're single. Attracting a mate. If you have problems with energy. You want more energy. You want more consistent energy throughout the day. You want to drink less coffee. Use less stimulants. Eat less sugar. I want to be less edgy. I want to be less angry. I want to be more emotionally stable. I want to feel less depressed. These are all reasons to become healthier and to get into that ideal weight range. This is going to be an ongoing list. During your 5-day challenge, which we're going to talk about in a moment, I want you to have this list by your side. And I want you to continue to add to it all the reasons why and all the things that you're going to look forward to when you get your health back and when you get your weight into that ideal range again. Next, I want you to write down the reasons why you haven't done it yet. It could be, I don't have time. I work too much. I don't have the money for gym membership. It costs too much to eat healthy. I don't know enough to eat healthy. I don't know what to eat. I'm not a very good cook. I'm not a very good planner. Write everything down that comes to your mind, even the smallest, littlest, most insignificant things, write them down. Lastly, I want you to make a list, and this is going to turn into what I call a dream board. It's not a new idea, but it's a very, very powerful tool for you to use to keep you on track. So I want you to write down a list of all the things that you want in your life, things that you want to have, how you want to be. It can be, I want to have high self-esteem. I want to be a leader in my community. I want to have a beautiful car. I want to wear nice clothes. I want to travel. I want to play sports again. I want to learn how to play golf. You know, whatever it is, I want you to write all those things down. I then want you to start looking through magazines for words, for pictures that represent the things that are on your list. And you're going to go and get a board. And I want you to start pasting all these things up. The house that you like to have. The clothes that you like to wear. The car that you'd like to have. Do you want to have a boat? Do you want to learn how to ski? Do you want to play golf? Pictures, words, and emotions. The language of the subconscious mind. In bold letters. You're going to paste them up on your board. And you're going to put that board somewhere where you're going to be able to see it every single day and more than once. And every single day, I want you to stop and look at the pictures. I want you to tap around your right ear and get a sense of the feeling you get when you can visualize yourself having that or being that. Tapping around your right ear cements it into your subconscious mind and it makes it real. And when something feels real, it makes it easier for you to achieve. Now that we have some reasons for doing what we're going to be doing, and this is going to be important too, you're going to fine-tune this. You're going to go back to it often. Just because you have it in your mind doesn't mean that your mind will remember. I want you to look at this. I want you to see it. That's why that dream board is so important. 70% of Americans are visual learners. So it's important that you see what it is that you want as well as thinking about it. So the more often that you see it, the more often you'll think about it. And the more often that you'll think about it, the higher the likelihood is that you'll start attracting all the variables necessary for that to happen. I recently started working with a woman. She came in first because she had low back and knee pain, and pretty severe. She had a dislocated disc as well as cartilage damage in her right and left knee. She was a runner, and she quit running several years ago because of the pain and has put on about 45 pounds. It really destroyed her self-esteem, brought her confidence level down to a place that's never been before, and she was feeling fairly defeated. All of that increased the intensity of her pain. So when she came in, we did an intake. And during the intake, she told me, I am so frustrated with myself. I know what to do. I know how to eat. I know how to exercise. And yet, I can't seem to do any of that anymore because of this darn weight. And the weight just won't come off. I have tried so many diets, and none of them seem to work. I've lost weight with some of them, but I always seem to gain the weight back. And what I told her is that, yes, you gain the weight back because you haven't taken care of the underlying reasons why you continue to sabotage yourself when you know better. Once you start using power tapping and believe in the power of your success, whatever eating plan you choose, you will be successful. Remember, if you believe you can, you can. And power tapping gives you that power. Now, I want you to make a list. Just as I want you to make a list of all the things that are getting in your way, or what you believe is getting in your way of your being healthy and at your ideal weight. So when she finished her list, she read through it for me. And one of the things that I noticed is that she didn't have the emotional composure necessary to say no when she was stressed. She ate at her desk. She ate on her way home. She ate when she watched TV. She ate when she went to the movies. Take a moment. I want you to write down all the foods that you generally eat when you're stressed out, bored, or you're unhappy. It's funny. The first thing she said was, oh, I invite Ben and Jerry's over to my house whenever I'm unhappy. I laughed. I said, yeah, I hear that from a lot of people. So write down Ben and Jerry's. And oh, by the way, write down your favorite kinds of Ben and Jerry's. You have more than one, right? She goes, nope, I just have one. Cherry Garcia. Love it, love it, love it, with chocolate syrup all over the top of it. She finished up her list. And I said, now, I want you to go back to Ben and Jerry's for a moment. I want to try an experiment with you. This is our first session, remember. So what I want you to do is I want you to think back to the last time that you had Ben and Jerry's. Got it? What kind of a day did you have? What were some of the triggers that caused you to want to go home and eat Ben and Jerry's? And she said right away, she said, it was my boss. My boss and I have a good relationship, but when she gets stressed, she stresses me out. I feel as though our friendship is in danger. And for whatever reason, I go for the Ben and Jerry's at that point. I asked her, has that ever happened at any other point in your life? And she stopped for a moment. She said, yeah, my mom and I used to sit down and eat ice cream when my mom was stressed. And it was generally when my mom and dad would have a fight or an argument. We would sit back and she knew that I was upset. So she broke the ice cream out and we ate ice cream and we felt better about it. I never asked any questions because I was happy to get the ice cream, and she didn't have to explain or go into any of the unpleasant emotions because we had this wonderful ice cream to soothe our emotions with. I said, I want you to focus on that, and I want you to tap on the karate chop point and repeat after me. Even though, and all of you can do the same thing. This is a really good one. So I want you to think about one of the things that you have cravings for, food cravings for. Ask yourself why. See if you can think of any of the triggers that might cause you to feel that way, and then tap along with me. I'll give you a moment. And tap along with me. Even though this ice cream makes me feel so good, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I need this ice cream in order to calm myself down, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though nothing else works as good as a nice bowl of ice cream to help me feel better about myself, I deeply love and accept myself. I'm doing the best that I can. And then I tap on top of the head. This ice cream is so satisfying. Eyebrow point. This ice cream makes me feel so good. Corner of the eye. This ice cream is the best thing to handle stress. Underneath the eye. I love eating ice cream. It makes me feel wonderful. Under the nose. This ice cream is soothing. Under the lower lip. This ice cream gives me my confidence back. Collarbone point. This ice cream works like magic every single time. Now, for all of you out there, continue tapping, keep moving around those points, and use words now of your own that describe how and why you eat the things you eat when you have cravings. Do one more round. And then stop. Using your own words. And stop. When we finished, I asked her on a scale of 1 to 10 how much she would love to have some Ben and Jerry's right now. And she looked at me and said, about a 4. I said, where was it before? She said, well, you know, generally I'm always up for a bowl of ice cream. But right now, it just, I really can't see the reason to have it. And then she looked at me and said in a funny way, and that's different because I can always find a good reason to have a bowl of ice cream. We got a little laugh out of that. I told her, I said, now, from now on, whenever you start to have these cravings, in the moment that you have it, I want you to start tapping on the karate chop point and thinking about having it, thinking about why I need to have it and what it's going to do for me and how good it's going to taste and how wonderful I'll feel afterwards. And after you tap on the karate chop point, continue with the eyebrow point, with the corner of the eye, under the eye, and so on until you've done one full round of the tapping. I want you to take a breath in, a breath out, and then think about having the ice cream again and see if you really want it. What I found overall in my practice is that people generally say no. Their willpower, their sense of purpose for doing what they're doing seems to come back to them. The light clicks back on saying, wait a minute, I don't want to sabotage what I'm doing. I'm really happy with what's going on and I really don't need it anyways. So that physical feeling, that physical desire for the food is lessened. One of the things about tapping is that when you tap on these acupuncture points, you have a general lowering of stress. You have an increase in serotonin and a lowering of your stress. It lowers cortisol levels as well. In fact, there was a study done recently by a gentleman named Dawson Church, and he found that by tapping on these points, there is a significant reduction in cortisol over a short period of time. And remember, cortisol causes food cravings. So this is a very powerful tool for you against a very powerful enemy, which are these food cravings. Another stressful environment is being around friends. They'll either support you or not. And for many of the same reasons that your family will support you or not. People don't want to see people around them change because it shines a spotlight on them and it makes them uncomfortable. So again, when you're with your friends, don't sell them. Let them know exactly what you're doing, why you're doing it, and then drop it. Either they're going to support you or they're not. If they don't, lose them for a while. It's one of the most powerful things you can do and one of the things that will raise your self-esteem higher than almost anything. And that is to take control. If you have toxic friends, lose them. No explanation is needed. Just simply don't call them. Don't invite them over. Don't have them in your environment because they are toxic for you. Tap out any feelings of anger, betrayal, or resentment towards them that they won't support you. Take this opportunity right now and tap out your insecurity. Tap out things like, I'm going to be lonely. I'm not going to have any friends left. Or any other reason that comes up that keeps you from doing what needs to be done. When you do this, it will build your confidence and it will build your self-esteem. When you can do this, you'll know that you've gained the self-control necessary to be successful and have the kind of lifestyle and the kind of life that you wrote down early on that you want to have. So let's get down to work here. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to write down a list of things to tap out. These are things that generally I find people go through when they first start a program with me. Number one, I can't do it. Number two, I can't change. Change is hard for me. I don't like change. Change is uncomfortable. Number three, I have no self-control. I don't have any willpower. And a little note on that one, nobody's saying that you do have willpower. Nobody's saying that you do have any self-control yet. But you will when you're finished with this program. Next thing to tap out, I just can't say no. I feel guilty. I did this to myself. I feel guilty that I didn't see it sooner. And I really feel guilty. I might be responsible for doing this to my kids and my spouse. I'm angry at myself for being so weak and lazy. I fear if I do this, I'll have no friends. And our friendship revolves around food. I fear standing out and being teased at first because of what I'm trying to do. And I'm afraid I won't be strong enough to succeed. And I'll once again go back to beating myself up for being a failure. These are just some examples. Take that and add to it. Because before you start anything, you have to believe that it's possible for you to do it, to succeed. Now I want you to write down a list of things that I want you to tap in. Things that will help you to be successful. Attitudes or beliefs that you know will help you to be successful at this program. Number one, I have the emotional composure necessary to see this through. I have the patience with myself necessary to be successful. I have the courage to say no. I have the courage to stand up to my friends and family and stand up for what I believe and what I want for myself. I'm really excited about doing this program because I believe this will work and for the rest of my life. I'm really excited about succeeding in changing my lifestyle so that I never have to diet again. I am really excited about seeing myself at an ideal weight. I'm excited about the new clothes that I'm going to buy. I'm excited about having my energy back. I am worth the effort. My family is worth the effort. I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Now, I want you to add to that list anything else that you want to put on there, anything that you want to feel, anything that you want to believe. Keep in mind something. When you are tapping in around the right ear, you're tapping directly into your subconscious mind. Dr. Ronald Rudin did a presentation a long time ago, and I was listening to it. One of the things that he said was fascinating. He said that whenever you're in a state of learning, there are high amounts of glutamate present that helps to imprint information quickly. An acupuncturist told me once that when you stimulate the gallbladder meridian, what you're doing is you're stimulating the production of glutamate. So when you're tapping around your right ear and you're tapping in all of these positive beliefs and all these positive feelings, you're doing so in the presence of the amino acid that helps to imprint that information quickly. So your subconscious mind takes in as fact everything you tell it. It doesn't have a filter. It doesn't have an ego. There's no sense of judgment. Remember, the language of the subconscious mind is pictures and emotions. If you say, oh, darn it, what did I do that for? I do that every single time. It goes in your subconscious mind as fact. So the next time you go and do that, whatever it was that you were doing, you'll do it the same way you did it before because that's what you believe. And the reason why you believe that is because you keep telling yourself that. So finish your list. And the next thing you're going to do is the 5-day challenge. Now, I know you've read the book already, so you know what the 5-day challenge is. I want you to take each one of the things that you're going to tap out. I can't do it because. I can't change because. I have no self-control because. I can't say no because. And I want you to finish the statement, because why? And the reason is this. The more specific you are about why you're doing something, the easier it is to change forever. We call it a global approach versus a specific approach. The global approach is, I can't do it. Your subconscious mind and your conscious mind are going, well, you can't do what? Okay, you can't do a lot of things. What is it that you can't do? And it's like, I can't change. I can't change the way I am. Really? Well, what part of you can't you change? So if you say, I can't change the way I am around my family, or I can't change the way my kids eat, those things now become much more workable. And guess what? Yes, you can change those things. And as you start to do the tapping, you'll start to settle down. You'll emotionally get your control back. You'll start to gain your confidence. And you will be able to say no and stay on track. The 5-day challenge is simple. Take 3 of these things, break them down, rate every reason why on a scale of 1 to 10, and write all the reasons why for each one of the 3 things. Write them all down because each one of those reasons is an aspect of the problem. Listen, no problem is simple. Every problem has many aspects to it, many reasons why it's a problem. Because if it was just one thing, well, it would be easy to overcome. Every once in a while, you'll be in a situation where a food craving is triggered, and you'll be like, wait, I haven't had that happen in a long time. What's the deal? And then you'll ask yourself that, and in the moment, you'll realize, oh, you know what? I never tapped that one out. And then you take the moment, you tap that reason out, and then that reason will no longer be able to stimulate the cravings. I tap every single day. I can be driving down the road and I'll have some random thought that I didn't like. And I find that if you don't let the little things build up, you won't be dealing with as many really big stressful situations or big blowouts as you used to. So take the 5-day challenge. You'll evaluate on a scale of 1 to 10 each one of the reasons. And then first thing in the morning and just before you go to bed, I want you to take 5 to 10 minutes and I want you to go through and tap out all the reasons. You're going to ask yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, how I feel about it. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about the worst case scenario for that reason. And I want you to start tapping while you're in that worst case scenario. Visualize it, see it, feel it. Do a round of tapping. Within 3 minutes, you'll have a result. I want you to reevaluate a scale of 1 to 10. When it gets down to a 2 or a 3, you can either ask yourself, what else is there? Or you can just move on to the next one, depending on how you want to handle it. Every person is different. Some people want to knock one thing out and then move on to the next. Others want to just kind of get things down in control and then they'll address it again tomorrow. So either way you want to do it, that's fine. When you're finished, you take a moment and 5 times around the right ear, you tap in how you want to feel, how you want to act, how you want to behave the next time those situations happen. And you want to do it with enthusiasm, with motivation, with excitement. And remember this about the subconscious mind. It takes in as fact everything you tell it. But if you tell it in an excited, emotional way, and when you attach images to it, you will now be speaking to the subconscious mind in a language that it understands best. Here's another tip also. Throughout the day, anytime I have a success, I made a really good choice on food, I mean anything that I do that I feel good about, I tap around my right ear and just go, yes, yes, I love the way that makes me feel. If you do that every single time you have even the littlest of successes, it builds upon itself. So again, tap in every success. Also tap in when you're feeling good. Let's say, for instance, you're sitting on the beach and you are just in a fantastic mood. Just take a moment, just tap around your right ear and get a sense of that good mood. Again, you amplify that good mood. The last thing I want to go into before we finish is some of the deep-seated reasons why we sabotage ourselves and have unhealthy lifestyles. I brought up earlier about the Kaiser study, about traumatic emotional experiences being repressed and how they manifest later in life as disease, as depression, as pain, as being overweight, as being out of shape. What I want you to do is I want you to take a moment, get that piece of paper back out again, and I want you to think about any traumatic experiences that you've had in your life that you can associate with self-sabotage. Take a moment and just think about it. If you come up with nothing, what I want you to do is I want you to tap on the karate chop point and I want you to say, I can't think of a thing. I don't know if there's anything wrong with my past. My past was fantastic. I can't think of a thing. I can't think of a thing. I can't think of a thing. Nobody has lived a perfect life. We've all got baggage. Some of us have been so good at hiding it, though, that we can't even access it. But we do know it's there. One of the things I tell all of my clients is this. If you don't know, it's only because you've hidden it really well. We all know all the reasons why we do the things that we do. One of the really wonderful benefits of tapping is that it strips away the cape or tears the door off the closet that we keep our deepest, darkest secrets in, and it exposes them to the light of reality and to the light of truth. And when you can finally see it and finally admit it, you can finally start to heal and really move forward with life and be happy. So once you've identified several of these events that have taken place in your life that has been causing you to sabotage yourself, do several rounds of tapping and make sure that you really ask yourself why these things are sabotaging you. Do the tapping, and you may have to do the tapping for several days. Then start tapping in all the positive beliefs about yourself and all the ways that you want to feel from this point on. Again, it's these deep-seated beliefs that can take some time to identify as well as get all of the aspects taken in and tapped out. But be persistent and it'll pay big dividends in the long run. So let's review. First, I want you to determine your goal. What is your ideal weight? Not the weight you think you can get to, but what is your ideal weight? Remember, you're going to be doing this over a long period of time. So don't worry about if it seems unrealistic. What is your ideal weight? Then I want you to pick a meal plan, an eating plan that you're going to be able to stick to. Along the way, you're going to be able to make modifications. So I want you to pick a plan that you like the foods on, that food preparation isn't too much for you, and that your family, if you are married or have kids, your family will like. Next, what I want you to do is I want you to write down all the reasons you think you're not going to succeed, or all the reasons you think this is going to be really hard for you to do. And I want you to write them all down, even the littlest, most infinitesimal reasons. Once you do that, it's time to take the 5-day challenge. You're going to take the list of reasons and you're going to rate them on a scale of 1 to 10. 10 meaning, oh, that's huge. That's going to be a huge problem for me. 1 is, no big deal. I want you to take the top 3 and I want you to apply them to the 5-day challenge. The 5-day challenge can be found on page 50 of my book. But briefly, this is how it's going to go. Every morning, when you first wake up, and every evening just before you go to sleep, you're going to spend about 10 minutes tapping out all of these reasons why you think you're not going to be able to succeed or that you think it's going to be hard. Then I want you to make a list of 5 beliefs that you'll need to succeed. These are 5 new positive beliefs that will help to reinforce your confidence, your self-esteem, and your ability to do this. When you're done tapping out all the reasons you think you're going to fail, I want you to take and tap in around your right ear these 5 positive beliefs. Remember, every morning and every evening. Next, a couple of tips. Number 1, for food cravings. If you're standing there and you want the jelly donut, but you can get the yogurt, I want you to stop right there and start tapping on the karate chop point and just think of all the reasons why I want that jelly roll. And I want you to think about it. I really want you to tap out, just like we talked about earlier. I want you to tap out those cravings. Just simply tap on the points and think of how yummy, how good, how much I want, how much I need that donut or that piece of candy or whatever it is that you're looking at. Okay, and I want you to see it. I want you to feel it. I want you to really get close to it because this is how you're going to get rid of these cravings. Then, in real time, every time you succeed at anything, whether you overcome the craving, you do something really good at work, you have a great result with a friend, whatever it is, anything that's positive, I want you to tap in around the right ear and just say, yes, great job. And I want you to get that feeling of really doing a good job or get the feeling of really being happy that you accomplished something. A nice little fist pump and an under your breath, yes, also works just fine. That's it. Remember, the only prerequisite for power tapping to work is your sincere desire to change. You've come this far. Let's get going. If you'd like more information or support during this process, contact us about my mentoring program. This is a great way for you to get weekly support, ask questions, get answers, and also hear from others how they're doing on their quest to get into the ideal weight and to be healthy and happy. If you'd like one-on-one coaching with me by phone, call 415-395-9383 and ask me about my phone coaching sessions. Remember, be strong, tap every day, and make it happen. Take care.